Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I'm awfully glad you joined me today. We've got a fantastic hour. I've got in-studio guests, and you know that makes me so very happy. Rick Madsen is in the studio, and Jonna Fonts is in here as well. We're going to talk about evangelism, and Rick, you may know, has been on my show before. He has written a couple of books. One is Faith is Like Skydiving, Another Memorable Images for Dialogue with Seekers and Skeptics, and also Faith Unexpected, Real Stories of People Who Found What They Never Imagined. I've got a copy of each to be giving away to some lucky person today. We do want to open up the phone lines today because as we get close to the holidays, we're going to have more and more opportunities to have what we call, conversations with family and friends as we sit around Thanksgiving tables and holiday tables. And usually what comes up is what's going on in your life, huh? And then it gives you a chance to say what God is doing in your life. And maybe that's a really sensitive subject. Maybe it's almost impossible for you to do. So maybe this hour will help you get better equipped to go do that. That's the desire and the hope. So 877-933-2484 is the number. If you want to call and ask a question, we're going to be talking about evangelism and ways to have productive conversations with family members and friends. And we're going to do that as well. You can text 877-933-2484 a question, or you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. So that is the plan for the next hour. You're going to love both of my guests in studio, and we'll just take a very short break and get today's discussion underway with Rick and Jonna in just a minute.
Some seasons have more dark than light, and whether it's a light switch, a lantern, or a fire, you have to search out ways to see. And when you find those ways, you discover things that have always been there. You just needed a little help. Welcome to Faith Radio, where you can flip on the light of God's hope, love, and truth for the dark seasons in your life. And you'll find yourself understanding things you never did before. Connecting faith to life. Thank you for searching and for finding Faith Radio.
You've likely noticed some recent programming changes here at Faith Radio. To help keep you informed about all of our programs, we encourage you to view our program guide at myfaithradio.com. The program guide lists every show, the time it airs, and information about the host. You can also listen to the podcast of any programs you missed. Stay up to date on your favorite shows. Just click on the Programs tab at myfaithradio.com.
Your name from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You are my God, and all I want to do is praise your name.
All right, we are back. So glad you're with me today. Rick Madsen is in studio. He works for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. He is a national evangelistic and apologetic specialist. He's been to over 70 college campuses across the country. He holds a little forum called Stump the Chump, where curious and sometimes skeptical students can ask questions. Anything they wish about Christianity. So that's going to be, that's a guest number one. Guest number two is Jonna Fonts. She is a pastor. She's a poet. And if you've got a nice piece of dark chocolate for her, she will be your best friend. She has an absolute passion to see Christ transform lives. So this is what I have in my studio today. So you know I am a happy guy. So welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Rick, nice to have you back.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's all you got?
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Yeah, there you go. It's awkward enough. And Jonna, thank you for coming in.
Oh, well,
and you've known Rick now for a while, huh?
Oh, yeah. We've been friends for 20 years, probably. Yeah. So
decades.
Yeah,
nice,
it's great.
Nice. I want to invite all the listeners that want to ask a question. And now is your chance to ask, you know, Rick and Jonna anything, and they'll be able to probably come back with a fantastic answer that can be reused, by the way. It's just not for you. You can use this and be better equipped to talk to others. Now, let's just start with a couple of softballs, all right? What do you say to someone who doesn't believe the Bible is God's word? It's that old book. You know, a bunch of people wrote it.
Yeah, well, I first would say that I believe that it is God's word.
Okay.
So now we have a tie.
Okay.
And, you know, I think people have misconceptions about what the Bible is. The Bible is really a collection of books. It's a library. So I will pretty quickly go to the authority of Jesus. What did Jesus think about the Old Testament? If we can establish somehow that Jesus was a real historical figure, and if Jesus thought the Old Testament was the Word of God, then I take the Old Testament as being the Word of God on the authority of Jesus. And if Jesus commissioned his apostles and his followers to write the New Testament and to start the church, then I take that whole process on the authority of Jesus. So from an apologetic standpoint, then, one of the best things you can do is try to establish who Jesus really was as a historical figure. Did he do the things that the gospel writers record? What about his teachings? Did his resurrection, did the crucifixion and resurrection really happen? And once you can kind of get that in place, then you can go backward to the Old Testament and forward to the New Testament. Mm-hmm. This is an old John Stott argument.
Yeah.
That's where that comes from.
Nice. I mean, are you willing to understand who Jesus is based on who Jesus said he was?
Right. Yes.
That's a good place to start.
Yes.
Maybe?
And have you actually read the accounts for yourself? So many critics haven't
Wouldn't it
really
be foolishness to them, Rick? I mean, well, to the unsaved person, the Bible is just nuts, right?
Yeah, it depends on the person. To some people, it really speaks deeply because God has brought them to the point where they can believe. Other people, yes, it does seem like foolishness. It's hard to be neutral about Jesus. You love him or you don't. but if people will read the accounts for themselves, some of the wisdom from the pages just leaps into their hearts. It's the powerful Word of God. Or we can say, hey, could we read it together? I'm reading in the Gospel of Mark right now. Would you like to read a few passages with me?
Mm-hmm. So, Jonna, when you are coming alongside people, teaching and encouraging them to experience God's Word, do you feel like you hear the same kinds of questions over and over?
Well, most people read the Bible through the lens of their own lives.
Of course.
And so whatever they're struggling with, they're often connecting to or struggling with Scripture as it speaks into that. So I always think when people are wrestling with Scripture, I always want to take that step into what's going on in your life. Like, what's lying behind this struggle? Because once you know their story, then you're watching this interplay of the amazing story of God and their story and how that's either clashing right now or there could be conjunction there. And I can help them think through that and wonder about that and ask questions about that. So I often think if people are really wrestling with something in Scripture, there's often something going on.
Mm-hmm.
I had a young mom, a brand new mom in our church, said, Pastor Fonts, I got to talk to you. Can I get in? I'm like, sure, come on in. And we sat down and she just said, the sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I am sick. Like, she's like, that story has never hit me. And now that I'm a mom, and we just had to process historically what was going on there and what was going on in her mom heart, that new part of her was awakening, and encouraging her to connect with God as a father and, as she encounters that story. So I often think when people are wrestling with Scripture, there's a really interesting something going on in their own lives.
Well, as regarding that story, I could break into tears right now thinking about it. Honestly, I mean, I'm starting to tear up as I say this because here Abraham's chopping wood. He gets up the next day and leaves and gets Isaac and chopping wood and strapping him down. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Right. The intensity
of
it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And to go into that story with this perspective of what was going on in Abraham's life and what was going on in Isaac's life, because that moment wasn't just about Abraham and his journey with God. That moment was about Isaac and his journey with God. Isaac is clearly old enough at that point, and his father is clearly old enough at that point that if there had needed to be a wrestling match, Isaac would have won. And so what's happening on that mountain between that father and son is such a profound surrender to God that the Christian faith and the Jewish faith all stems out of that moment mm-hmm. in that family. But it wasn't just a journey for dad. It was a journey for their son, mm-hmm. too. And the way, when I talked to that mom just about that, I said, there really will come a moment where you have to let go of your child, where you have to, this kid that you've protected and held on to and watched it, where you have to release them to their own journey with God and to their own path. And that can feel like death. That mm-hmm. can feel really hard. And it was really powerful. We ended in prayer. She went away saying, I think I'll still wrestle with this story. And I'm like, good. You know, it's a difficult story. But she'd come to a new understanding and some more wisdom mm-hmm. in her own journey with her children.
Yeah. Scripture doesn't have to be comfortable for us.
No. It's anything it often but. Isn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's a cross-cultural experience, too. The text That's was good. Written in the ancient world, and here we are. Hundreds of years later, and it takes a little bit of a cultural leap to try to understand what was happening in that time period.
Yeah. I'm going to take a break in a couple minutes. I want to remind listeners that you can call with any question. If you want to try to stump Rick, you can do that, or you can ask John whatever you like, and that's 877-933-2484. When you start into a dialogue with somebody, and they're maybe not a Christian, and they come out and they say, so are you one of those Christians? Are you a Christian? I mean, what's a good response to keep that, you know, nice and keep the conversation going?
Big smile on my face. Proudly so.
Perfect.
Yeah, I have no apology, no embarrassment.
Perfect.
When
That's
I worked at McAllister
for.
College for many years,
yeah.
where traditional Christians wasn't always easy for them, I made myself known clearly as a proud evangelical Christian who was hopefully defeating some of the stereotypes that they might
Fantastic.
Have of what that would be. That was my goal.
I love that. All right. Let me take a break, and I can now repeat the number one more time before break, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. That number, of course, works as a phone call or a text message. I'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I have in studio Rick Mattson, works for InterVarsity Fellowship, and John Afonso. She's a pastor and works at Salem Covenant.
Yeah, that's right.
That's awesome. All right, and we want to field questions today about evangelism. And if you are thinking about an upcoming discussion you may have with a family member or friend around the holidays, or maybe you're wrestling with someone at work, having these discussions, or a neighbor, and you feel like you need a little bit of coaching or a little bit of equipping, I think this is the hour to call, 877-933-2484. Now, Rick, you do a lot of work on college campuses. You've been to over 70 across the country, and you hold a little forum called Stump the Chump where people can ask questions. Often skeptical students can ask you anything they wish about Christianity. What are some of the questions students are asking nowadays?
Always get questions about a good God and the presence of pain and suffering and evil in the world. Why
yeah.
God doesn't seem to solve those things more quickly. I get a lot of questions about the Bible, how to interpret the Bible. What about other religions? What about people who've never heard the gospel message of Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Lately, I've been getting a ton of questions about perceived misogyny, patriarchy, gender of God, women in the Bible, slavery, all those sorts of things.
Okay.
Kind of out of this equality, inclusiveness, fairness motif
okay.
that's so strong
let's
in our culture.
Let's hit pause
right
there
yeah.
and let's back up to
yeah.
that one.
Sure.
What are some of the more specific questions you get regarding that?
Yeah.
And maybe then tell me what your answer is.
Yeah. Well, someone said at Hamlin University the other night where we did Stump the Chump, why aren't women more represented in the Old Testament? Well, in the whole Bible. And I said, well, I wish they were, and I think God wishes they were too, but at the fall, women were subordinated under men. And but people expect God to fix these issues, you know, just with a wave of a wand,
mm-hmm.
instantaneously, snap his fingers and do something about it. And that sort of raises the question, why didn't God send Jesus Christ to die for sins 5 minutes after Adam and Eve fell from grace. And I think it's because God is a gradualist. He works on these things a little bit at a time, and he allows the consequences of our disobedience, the consequences of our sin, to play themselves out in our timeline. And in the meantime, he intervenes. He starts small with Abraham and expands out from there. But he works on slavery and divorce and sexuality and all these issues in the Old Testament that are so difficult. He works on them incrementally, a little bit at a time, so that by the time you get to the New Testament, you see that women are treated better than they were in the Old Testament. And that's how the tradition unfolds. I've been using this line lately, Bill, that God often, I say often, not always, but God often works at the speed of humanity, not the speed of deity. He and the incarnation, when Jesus walked among us, yes, there were times he did instantaneous miracles. I'm not denying that. But he walked around Palestine and did ministry at the speed of humanity. And I think that's true throughout the Bible with some notable exceptions.
What's the obsession with fairness and justice? I mean, that's something that you must get asked a lot on Stump the Chump forums. Is it because people have a sense of, if you know, if my little brother gets a cookie, I get a cookie? And it starts very young, and we understand what is should be rightfully ours. And if we don't get our life the way we like, then God is not trustworthy.
Well, on college campuses, it's about multiculturalism, internationalism, justice, reconciliation, and inclusiveness. Those are some big themes on college campuses these days. So 20, 25 years ago, college professors sat around and talked about these things in conferences and professional journals, and then it works their way into the classroom. And as the United States has become more of a multicultural place, people in places of higher education, powerful professors, have been teaching this to college students, and then it gets into our public schools. And I'm not necessarily saying it's a bad thing. Fairness isn't necessarily a bad thing. Maybe we shouldn't expect fairness as much as we do. But that motif is really powerful among the young people that we work with today.
You know, in some ways, I see it as a really positive thing that God really did create us all equally loved and equally precious and
dignity, worth.
Yeah, exactly. And so the fact that we have this sort of built-in sense in us, even when that gets broken and immature, but this built-in sense that, gosh, we are meant to be more equal. There's meant to be enough for everyone. I want to cheer that on. I want to say that is how God. If God's world, the way he designed it, had continued, that's how it would
be. Before the fall.
And we're feeling this gap now, you know? I always think that's a great place. And the Old Testament, it's fascinating to read the first five books of the Old Testament, because Israel as a culture was designed to be an incredibly flat culture. They were not supposed to be above one another, not economically. There was kind of reset buttons hit every so often in time that would kind of level the playing field. The king himself was not supposed to have lots of wives or money or armies. He was actually supposed to be this model, almost like a priest, like he was going to be the model Israelite. When you wanted to know how to relate to God, you would look at the king, and that's how you knew to relate to God. So it's fascinating how right into the culture of the Old Testament is this sense of this leveling, like God has goodness for all. You know,
it's great. I've got a question from a listener, Linda from Anoka. She said, "I understand about answers we can give to non-believers, but what about people who claim to believe in God but don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ? How can we bring them into the knowledge of a relationship with Jesus?"
Right.
So
I want to back up a step from any of the questions, I think, and maybe lay some sort of brief theology that I know John and I work with all the time, and that is that God goes before us. So that gets me out of the business of kind of being this Christian salesperson, like the the burden is on me and the guilt is on me and the obligation is on me to be this, you know, really great evangelist. But if I think that the friend just mentioned here by the caller, if I think that God went ahead of me into that person's life, now my first job is to listen and to find out what God is already doing in that person's life and then respond accordingly. So if they're pretty far along in the process, I might just share the bridge diagram. You know?
I love this. I love this example.
But if they're not very far along in the process, if they still need to just trust a real Christian, then I work there.
Mm-hmm.
So if we think about this unfolding with what's sometimes called the five thresholds, it starts with trusting a Christian, and then they become curious, and then they're open to change, and then they're a true seeker, and then conversion finally comes. So if they're just in those lower thresholds, you have to do a lot of trust building and that kind of thing. But, Bill, I'm just adamant about this idea that God is the evangelist. He's the one who goes before us. We are the detectives,
nice.
Not the salespeople.
I love that.
We're the detectives.
I love
discerning what God is already doing and then stepping into the process. So, did I actually get to the question, though?
I don't know. But I, you know, if you want to keep talking, you might find a way there.
Yeah, but did she?
I think she's saying is, it's easy to talk to a non-believer, but what about when a person claims to be religious?
Okay,
and I'm a Christian, but clearly you know that they don't know Christ.
Yeah,
they don't have anything in their life that would be exhibiting that. They're a cultural Christian, maybe.
Yeah, I guess ask, what does that mean to you, and maybe pick. Instead of just lowering that out of the sky from nowhere, you could say, what does that mean for your Christmas traditions? What does that mean for your Easter traditions? And what does that really mean for you?
It's a great question.
So, yeah.
Because that's sort of where the rubber and the road meet when it comes to their traditions, their faith traditions.
Yeah, and I think that honor what they're saying, even if you are skeptical about that. But I think it's always best to start in a place of honoring that is their honest perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to, like, how does that make a difference? How does that affect your life? I'm so interested. I find my faith is affecting my life all the time. I'm curious. When you say I'm a Christian, where does that make a difference for you? It's an exploratory and trying to find out. Yeah, again, you're getting at the definition. What do they mean? Well, I believe just this head knowledge thing, or, you know, I go to church once in a while. You know, what's going on there? And helping them to really think through. I'm in a relationship with God. It's not just a list of beliefs.
Right.
Yeah.
And if they get defensive right away, that's probably another trigger, isn't it?
Back off.
Yeah,
exactly.
Don't push it.
Only go as far as God has gone. And I don't always get that right, honestly.
Yeah, sure. I appreciate that. If you have a question for Rick or Jonna, call us at 877-933-2484. Or you can text me a question, 877-933-2484. Or if you just love good old-fashioned email, bill@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back. It's 31 minutes after the hour. Rick Madsen and Jonna Fonts are in my studio. We're talking about evangelism, one of my very, very, very favorite subjects. We all need to grow in this area, become better equipped, and become ready to defend our faith and our hope we have in Christ. I've got a ton of questions coming in. Are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me just jump with this one. How do you explain the suffering of innocent people in the world? Help me with that one.
Well, in this big schematic of God creating the world in an ideal state in the Garden of Eden and then people falling away, now we live in a broken world. And in a broken world, bad things happen to good people. And if we're defining good as culturally good, not good as compared to God, because no one is, but just culturally good citizens, why do bad things happen to good people? Because we live in a broken world. And God allows the consequences of our corporate brokenness to play themselves out in our lives. But he's unsatisfied with that. He came down to earth to first experience it himself and then teach us how to bring, in the power of the Holy Spirit, how to bring the ministry of healing and care and repair and reconciliation to other people. So often the solution to people's sufferings is Christians called to walk into their lives and provide aid and healing and the things that that God gives to us. So, but in a broken world, it's not about who's best or better. Bad things can happen to good people, and good things can happen to bad people. That's the nature of a broken world. But, Bill, I just think the church, if it gets out of the pew, gets out of the four walls of the church, and gets out there and brings the message of Christ and brings caring, powerful service into the lives of people, we're going to see a lot of those problems eliminate or at least worked on.
Yeah, you know, love it.
What do you say?
Yeah, I think I just love what you said, Rick, that really if you're in this world, it's broken.
It is.
And even if you're God, you get hurt.
He did.
You get beat up. You get put on crosses.
Like
this is the deal with this broken world. And yeah, the calling of the church is that we're there to help redeem that. That there really is a chance for suffering to not shatter us and destroy us, mm-hmm. but suffering could actually be the making of us. It
Good.
Can strengthen us and bring forth beauty and clarity and let Christians be encouraged when someone asks that question. They're probably struggling. Mm-hmm. Again, my evangelistic heart would say, find out what pain they're asking
exactly.
about. Where's yeah. that coming from? What are they thinking? Did they just read an article? And be sure to grieve with them first.
Yes.
Grieve it. Don't try to like just paste over it but grieve with them first.
Oh, come on. Philosophy first, then
grieving. Yeah, yeah.
No, come on,
Philosophy
Jenna.
Second. Philosophy second.
Yeah. All right. I have a caller. Nancy is calling in from Forest Lake, Minnesota. Hello, Nancy. You have a question. Hello. Hi, Nancy. Are you there? Maybe not. Hello, Nancy. Well, I guess not. All right. I've got another question here for you. Maybe Nancy will call back, and we will definitely give her another chance to connect. I've got someone wanting to know about I've got my computer just froze.
Oops. Oh, that's
a lovely feeling on live radio is when your computer freezes.
You need pen and paper from 20 years ago. Come on, Bill.
Don't play that game with me, Rick.
Well, while Bill's looking at that and trying to get that, hey, Rick, let's talk just a little bit about
the holidays. You guys break into small groups. Talk to yourself.
Yeah. How about those twins?
They need power hitters, Rick.
I think that the holidays, my personal opinion, is that these are just rife with opportunities for evangelism. Why don't we just talk a little bit about some of the ideas that we have around what Christians could be doing?
I guess I'm not needed anymore. So tell me how
Bill just left the studio.
No, let's hear some. This would be great.
Well, Jonna and I were talking before we came on air just about holiday traditions and how we can share about those, and they make great conversation pieces. Sometimes we are doing hospitality. We can have people over, and they can participate in our traditions. And I like this word traditions. It's easy to say. We have Christmas or holiday traditions at our house and then say, hey, how about you at your house? And then we have an exchange, maybe a conversation. Well, we have an Advent candle. And do you know what the word Advent means? Then I might be able to explain it. So I'm not, standing on a soapbox here. We're sharing traditions. And in that way, I can kind of discern where this person is at. Because we're trying to find out what God is doing in their lives and then open that door. But, did you have a thought about these traditions and so
forth? Yeah, I just think that's great. And Thanksgiving around the table that we read a psalm, as a tradition. Or we think each person goes around and says what they're thankful for. And then we offer that thanks to God. And just inviting people into that. Just join us in our tradition. The reading of the Christmas story on Christmas Eve and a chance to even with your family talk about it, So those are, I think there's just these wonderful opportunities where you're just saying to people, you belong here, just join right in. Yeah. Relax.
We're not trying to force anything on you here, but this is a tradition of our family. This is what we do. Yeah.
Can I get back in?
Yes.
Oh,
well, I don't know. Are you in the studio now?
I'm in the studio. Okay. I think tradition is a very non-threatening word.
It is. It's great. Yeah.
It's so cozy.
It is.
Because that should make everyone feel hopefully a little good and warm. And tell me what your traditions are. Even if they're silly, at least you've got something going. Yeah.
Right.
All right. I've got a question. In my work environment, I find it is more effective to preach the gospel with my actions, attitudes, and values as I am surrounded by scornful atheists. Ouch. Know that I'm a Christian, but I do not actively seek out moments to talk about my faith. Rather, when the topics come up, I explain why I believe the way I believe. I feel I gain more respect from them by acting like Jesus than trying to use words to convince them to be like Jesus. Am I being unfaithful for not also using my speech to evangelize? That's the question.
Wow, that is a great question.
It's
I love that question.
Yeah,
that is. You know, I do think... If I was sitting with this person, I guess actually I would like to challenge this person a little bit to be verbal. I don't think it's a bad thing to grow in these areas to say, okay, right now I'm not that comfortable being verbal. What would it take for me to become more comfortable with that? How could I move into that in a slow, small, incremental way where I could take tiny steps of faith into this area of verbalizing my beliefs about Jesus? It doesn't take, I don't think, a ton of faith to act like Jesus. It takes moral fortitude. It takes the strength of my friends and so forth to hold me accountable to be a moral person and to be upright and to be winsome. But I guess I would like to challenge folks to take those little incremental steps of risk that it means to be somehow verbal around my friends who are not believers. I don't know. Did you have a thought about that?
Yeah, I think I always think that our actions in our life are the foundation.
That's true.
Like, don't construct a house of cards of
words
when there's nothing behind it. But if this person has faithfully lived out their life in front of their friends or these coworkers, then I think that adding words to that is not bad. The fact that they're struggling, that they say there's this kind of atheism that feels ardent, and I would be encouraging them to listen. If they're going to speak, then I always think, you got two ears and one mouth.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Listen. What is their story? What are the roots of their atheism? How informed is it? How thoughtful is it? You know, and want to hear that, because as you are respectful and honoring of that faith walk, then you're laying groundwork for your own.
And atheists, 9 out of 10, will have a bad experience or some sort of experience that precedes their beliefs. I want to know what that experience is. So I often ask that question of I hang out with atheists all the time. Mm-hmm. I read atheists. Often ask that question. And then it leads to fruitful conversation rather than, atheists in here, I need to preach the whole gospel here in the next 3 minutes or something like that. Just wade into it a little bit at a time and take this inductive approach of asking questions. It's gold.
I love it. All right. If you have questions, 877-933-2484. You can also text me a question. I got a bunch of questions here on the text line. One comes from a listener that says, can you explain about prophetic utterings and what that means? And what about speaking in tongues? I don't understand it, but it seems to be a pretty popular thing.
I would say that part of the Christian walk is this sense that we have the Holy Spirit within us, and we are living guided by that Spirit's promptings, guided by words from that Spirit, and guided by the power of that Spirit. And so these manifestations, this prophetic word, is often the idea in Scripture is that God is delivering a message that is apropos to this situation right now. Someone has a sense of what God wants to say in this moment to this community or this person. Those words are always meant to be discerned, so it's great when that comes out in a circle and people can confirm that really sounds like God or not, you know. Speaking in tongues was a sign gift, they're called. They're these miraculous gifts that are evidence of God's power that is just unquestionable, like clearly this is coming from God. And so we have examples in Acts in particular of tongues being given as the Spirit fills and people able to understand the language of tongues, hearing their own language spoken and hearing the praises of God. So it's meant to be this miraculous sign gift when tongues is given. It's the sense of God's presence is here. It's meant to bring joy and wonder and awe. That's what those gifts are for.
Could I add a resource on all
yeah,
this?
Yeah, by all
Bill?
Means.
Go back and read Power Evangelism by John Wimber. I don't think it's the final say on all these things, and it's a little bit of a controversial book. But one of the things that he talks about in there is how when the power of the Spirit breaks out in our lives, it tends to accelerate the process of evangelism. People are more open when they experience the power of God for themselves. I was with an atheist at a healing service a couple years ago, and he did not believe it. He was the most skeptical person in the room, and he was called forward by the person who was doing this healing, and he came up and he saw it for himself, and he came back and sat next to me. His name is David, and I go, well, and he goes, I just saw a healing. I can't deny it. And he did. And he did come to faith that night. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I always pray on the show. First of all, I love all my listeners. And I always want to know wherever you're at. God loves you, of course. And I love you. So thank you for listening. And I always want to pray that whatever I say on the air doesn't get confused. Of course, you know, that's always a fear. And a listener wrote in, and I hope I didn't confuse her. I hope none of you confused her, including me. But she said, you made a comment that those who don't go to church aren't Christians. Well, I used to go to church all the time. In light of the hypocrites in the church, it is hard to go to church, even though I understand it's valuable to fellowship and worship with other believers.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's a legitimate concern. Sometimes behavior of Christians, or sometimes it's perceived behavior, can be off-putting to folks, and they find themselves kind of on the outs of the church, kind of on the outside looking in. Then it's just hard to go back and re-engage, like, I didn't have a very good experience last time I was there, or the last years I was there wasn't a very good experience. But I guess I would invite people to give it another try. I know that can be difficult. But God does call us into a community. It's the community of faith. And again, I kind of like this idea of I've been talking about doing things incrementally this whole show. And an incremental way to do this is to go to one service and sit in the back and say, oh, was that so bad? And then a second way is to go to two services and to gradually meet people. Because I think if you came to my church, which is Grace Church Roseville, or your church, which is Salem Covenant, you would find that the vast majority of people are just down home, honest, caring people. And once you get to know them and kind of what's happening there, you can have a really positive experience. I don't know. Did you have something to say about that,
yeah.
Shauna?
Well, first of all, I just want to say I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sorry. You clearly have been hurt by the church. And just as a pastor called to shepherd the church, this always grieves my heart when the church hasn't been what she was supposed to be, which is the welcoming arms of Jesus.
Hospitality.
You know? So I am sorry for that experience for you. And I would encourage you to come back and know that the church can say it's sorry and people can say they're sorry. It isn't a perfect place. We long for you to get to experience the incredible joy and depth of the community of Jesus, not just this dark, negative moment
right.
for you. So, in fact, it's interesting. My mom talked about she was raised in a very skeptical household, and they always talked about the hypocrites mm-hmm. in the church. And so she just hardly ever went to church. And she remembers seeing one of those funny little signs, you know, with like clever quotes outside of church. And it changed her heart. So I'll just offer this to you. This is from my mom. So she said, the quote said, if a hypocrite is standing between you and God, then who's closer to God? And she was just like, whoa. That's right. I'm not, if the church is a place God has ordained for us to encounter his living presence, then I'm not going to let one or two bad eggs get in my way, you know? So I just encourage you, come on back and do hear how sorry we are that the church did not serve you well.
That's lovely. I'll take a little break. When we come back, we will have a little bit more time. If you have a question you'd like to ask, you can call or text 877-933-2484. Rick Madsen and John Afonso are my guests in studio. Be right back. It's 11 minutes until the top of the hour. Thank you for listening. I have Rick Madsen and John Afonso in studio. Rick's written a couple of books. One is called Faith is Like Skydiving and Other Memorable Images for Dialogue with Seekers and Skeptics. And the other book is the one you're going to want to just hand out to somebody who is sort of seeking. It's got real stories of people who found what they never imagined. That's the tagline to his book called Faith Unexpected. If you'd like to receive a copy of this book, I've got one of each in my hand, and email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and we will pick a winner. So bill@myfaithradio.com, and I want to get Rick's book, and make sure you put your name and your address, because if you get chosen and you win, we need to know where to send it. All right, so we're talking today about evangelism. We're talking about connecting with others, dealing with objections that people have, and just being winsome and loving. And Rick, you've used the word incremental a number of times.
Yes.
I'm going to let you expand on that one more time. Then that's it for the day.
Okay. Yes. And is there a specific question around?
Well, I love the idea.
Incrementalism?
No. I mean, I think I love the idea that that God will be doing things oftentimes in increments. And we have such a hurried mentality in this life that we want instant results, and we have to just trust God to work in his way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you look through the Old Testament, you see progress in the area of slavery, for example. And the slaves in Israel were treated much better than they were in the surrounding nations. That's the gap, and Israel stays ahead of that gap. And then in the New Testament, slaves are encouraged to gain their freedom. Or the same thing with women. You know, women are not treated well in the ancient world, but they're treated better in Israel than they are in the surrounding nations. By the time you get to the New Testament, you have the gospel writers witnessing the most important event in human history, that being the resurrection, was witnessed by a woman. Woo! Oh, my goodness. Or how about Jesus going through Samaria and dignifying an extended conversation with a Samaritan woman? The place of women in the New Testament is higher, but it's still not ideal. God is still working on the process. And really, those of us in the church need to be looking in the mirror and saying, well, how are we continuing to allow God to work through us in restoring the rightful place of women in our culture, in our jobs, in the marketplace, families, and churches?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rick, I think, and taking that incremental approach and thinking of that about our family and friends that are not believers or in various stages of belief, I always think that sometimes what we're all hoping for, well, and of course we are, that they'll cross that finish line. We want to get to conversion, and there needs to be patience. There needs to be, again, this idea of being a detective. What is God doing in their life right now, and how do I honor that? How do I not push beyond that? And I think even thinking of this holiday is a next step, right? So everyone in your life, everyone around you, everyone you're inviting to your celebrations or encountering at parties, there's a step. There's not the whole race to finish, but there's a next step. And what could that be? I think sometimes when we have that incremental approach, it takes some of the pressure off.
It does. Yes. I don't want to be that salesperson that comes in, you know, with guns a-blazing. And I think we pray into this process. If it is an incremental process of people coming to faith, then we pray into that. We pray for their hearts, that God would create good soil in their hearts and create receptivity in them. But we also pray for ourselves, that we would be able to detect and discern what God is already doing so that we will respond appropriately. I think evangelism is as much response, appropriate response, as it is initiating. It's both. But we were talking about the guy earlier who had atheist friends at work, and I think a good approach for that, I think it was a guy, but that person would be to respond to your atheist by asking a question.
Interesting. I have a caller that said, what about the churches, some of the bigger mega churches that don't necessarily either have church membership or promote it? I'm not sure what church that would be, to be honest. But she said, to me, it really takes away from the accountability of people getting involved in the church and learning their gifts and being involved in ministry. John, is that a question you want to tackle?
Yeah, I've worked in both the mega church as well as a small, and now I'm in a sort of large church working. And yeah, each church that I was in had a different culture around membership. And I think that sometimes membership is seen as sort of old fashioned, and that, you know, people just come and want to be part of the community. So first of all, I want to affirm for this caller the sense that, gosh, when you commit to something, I say what we commit to shapes us. If we don't commit to something, then it doesn't get into us. And so if whatever that commitment looks like, I want to say to believers, commit. You know, if it is that step of membership, take that step. But making a profound commitment to a community is really important. And I just think it's also important to know that many churches, you can get deep into a church without being a member. So you could be a small group leader. You can be deeply involved in ministry. So sometimes membership is seen as almost kind of a last tier, but there can be tons of involvement. I just always say, discern what that community is and talk to a pastor about it. I love those conversations when people come to me to say, what is membership here at Salem? What does that mean?
And they talk directly to you instead of about you behind the scenes. Would
I
be
love
nice.
That. Yes. I love that. You know, so.
Well, that's a great question. So thank you very much for asking that. And Rick, talk a little bit about your book, Faith Unexpected, Real Stories of People Who Found What They Never Imagined. This is just chock full of really great real life stories.
Yeah, it's a gentle book. It's not preachy. You can give it to a friend who's not a Christian.
You're not preachy.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's a book that you can give to first-time church visitors. This is what our church is about. It's a book you can give to Alpha participants. It's perfect, actually, for Alpha, the Christian course that a lot of churches have. But I went around the country and did 16 interviews of people who came to faith from a whole variety of ethnicities and backgrounds. I chose the 9 that I thought were most compelling. Added my own story to the end, so it's 10 short. Yes, the least compelling, maybe.
Yeah.
it's 10 short stories. You can read them really quickly. That will encourage you and inspire you, your faith, and you can hand it to a friend who needs that same encouragement and that same inspiration to kind of get their faith moving along. Mm-hmm. It's an easy giveaway.
Yeah. All right. I've got time for some closing thoughts. Jonna, what do you have?
I actually was just going to add to that, just a shout out if there are any pastors out there. That particular book is a really great giveaway at Christmas or Easter for visitors to your church. So it's pretty cheap, and it's a really compelling gift to give people, particularly if your sermons are emphasizing life transformation.
Yeah, I love it. So as we're approaching the end of our time together, and thank you for coming in. This has really been fun, you know, especially the part where I just kind of sat here and watched you guys work, which is kind of fun. But some closing thoughts for people as they're getting ready to face the holidays. About a minute.
Did you want to say something about preparation for the holidays?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Because we were talking about that ahead of time. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think that there's a lot of prep that goes into holidays. You know, we're buying presents and we're decorating and we're planning meals and doing parties and cards and all of that stuff. I want to encourage you to do the spiritual prep for the holiday. Are you praying for people? Are you thinking through some of your traditions? Are you asking God to enter into all of those spaces where you're celebrating so that His grace could transform and change someone who's a guest at your house.
And always be reminded, Rick, thanks to you, that you said God goes before us. God has gone ahead of you. And just to be praying, because trust that God's already been there.
Yes. Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you for coming into the studio.
Thanks, Bill. Great to be here.
Yeah. This was great.
Rick Madsen and Jonna Fonts have been my guests. And if you still want to get in on the drawing for one of Rick's books, Faith Unexpected or Faith is Like Skydiving, email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. A number of entries have already come in, so we're going to take a drawing and get a couple winners today. We'll take a short break and be back with lots more in just a minute. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.